Welcome to the I Quit Podcast with Rachel B. Foy. Your host, Rachel B. Foy.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Thank you guys so much for coming back to the I Quit Podcast with Rachel B. Foy. And today I have one of the most amazing, phenomenal woman of God sitting in front of me. I'm going to have her give us her name and introduce herself.
Hi, Rachel. I'm so glad to be here. My name is Michelle Spencer.
Yes.
I am the Chief Executive Officer for the Boys and Girls Club in Walker County. Mm-hmm. And I'm a mother of three.
Yes.
A wife.
A wife, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
And a daughter.
Yeah.
A coworker, a friend, I'm all that.
All that good stuff.
And I'm just really happy to be a part and to be able to share my story with many of the women that listen to your podcast.
Well, thank you. And I'm so excited because this season is our season two. Thank you guys so much for having us come back one more season. But this is season two, and it's all about inspiring, uplifting, and empowering. Specifically women, but really anyone that listens to the podcast, especially this season, will be able to walk away with some sort of nuggets, wisdom, strategies, what have you, but something that's going to be able, that they can apply to their lives. So with you, I definitely wanted you to be on the podcast because, as you said, you are a CEO. Okay. And I want listeners, she is a for real CEO. Okay. Now, no shade to anyone, but I want you to understand she's going to talk to us a little bit later just about her career and exactly what it means to be a CEO. But before we get to all that, my first official question is I want to ask you, with the I Quit podcast, there's a lot of different things that we've discussed that people have to quit. And I quit can mean a number of things to a number of people. So for you, before we jump right into I quit, I want you to tell us more about how did you get to the why? Like, how did you get to the why to bring you here to this place in your life?
Well, Rachel, you know, I graduated from college. Mm-hmm. I married whom I thought was my sweetheart, my forever.
Yeah.
And life for me before marriage was pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
Cute girl, did what I needed to do.
She's very attractive. I want y'all to know. Go ahead.
Bad at my eyes, but I still put in the work.
Absolutely.
But most people saw cute.
Right.
I'm going to do just because she's cute.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that sounds very arrogant, but that's the way my life had been.
Right.
Things were very simple for me.
Mm.
And then I got married.
Right.
And marriage was not simple.
Right.
I married forever. Mm-hmm. My husband did not take on the same oath as I did. Mm. And life became very hard.
Yeah.
But in that hard, I found who I was.
Yes.
I found the fight in me. Mm-hmm. I found, and when I mean fight, I'm not talking physical fight, but I found, you know what? I'm a survivor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to survive through this.
Yes.
And along that 11-year marriage, I had children, and I was going to survive through our marriage because of my children.
Right.
And I remember the day when my kids are sitting in the back seat and we're having a conversation about their day. And one by one, they told me how it would be okay if mommy and daddy got a divorce because their friend had got a divorce. Now, mind you, I've been married 11 years and had gone through the struggles of marriage. And I'm not talking just, you know, bills and stuff. I'm talking about infidelity. I'm talking about, you know, the trust was gone. Everything was falling apart.
Absolutely.
And my kids made it okay for mama to say, you know what?
Mm.
I can't do this anymore because it's not healthy for them.
Right.
And it's not healthy for me.
Right.
But even in that decision to quit,
mm-hmm.
that marriage, mm-hmm. I found myself quitting in many other areas of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So my ethics Mm-hmm. I was fighting internally.
Right.
I was on those weekends when kids were with dad.
Yeah.
I was living my life.
Yeah.
With no concern.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so out of character for me.
Right.
And then it was like, okay, wait a minute. This isn't me.
Mm.
I can't do this. So I quit that too.
Right.
You know,
yes.
Like, this isn't me. I'm fighting myself.
Exactly.
Inside.
Right.
And then it was like, and I don't know how spiritual your listeners are.
Yeah.
What their faith is.
Mm-hmm.
But for me.
Yes.
I remember laying in my bed one night. I'm mm-hmm. crying. I'm like, Lord, what's happening to me?
Yes.
You know? I did what I thought was right in my marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I was failing.
Mm-hmm.
I quit it. And now I'm lost. I'm
right.
lost. But I have to be strong. I have to be a survivor for my children.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not able to do that. So I need you.
Mm-hmm.
And the very next day, a colleague of mine came in. Now, let me just paint this picture for you.
Mm-hmm.
I had a good job,
mm-hmm.
making great money, had just built my own house
mm-hmm.
without the man.
Yes.
Raising my children, but internally I'm fighting.
Yes.
I'm fighting.
Right.
Spiritually, I'm fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And a colleague came in and said, hey, you know, had you ever considered leaving this Boys and Girls Club and being a CEO of another Boys and Girls Club? I said,
mm-hmm.
why would I do that?
Right.
I'm making great money.
Yeah.
I have fabulous staff.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I need to do that?
Right.
And she said, you have so much more to give. And I thought, okay, Lord, you know, I'm praying to you last night.
Yes.
About, I need a change. I need something. Show me something.
Mm-hmm.
So that evening, after my colleague and I spoke, I get home and there's a letter in the mail from my alma mater saying, hey, we're having alumni luncheon. Come visit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me just say this. In the conversation with my colleague, the CEO position that was available was in the same town of my alma mater.
Mm,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, okay, Lord, I hear you. I
yeah.
hear you.
Right.
So I go online and
mm-hmm.
I apply for the job online.
Yeah.
And I sent in my alumni card
yes.
to go to this alumni luncheon. Rachel, it gets better. It gets better.
It
because
gets better.
I go to this luncheon 2 weeks later.
Yes.
And I'm walking in a room and there's all these people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know any of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's the very old.
Right.
And then there's the
very
ones
new.
That just
yeah.
graduated
yeah.
from college.
Just
from
graduated.
Yeah. And so they're looking for connections and networking. And these other people, they've done all the networking. And they just want to tell stories
right,
about the
right.
good old days. And here I am. I'm walking through thinking, why am I here?
Right.
I'm smiling and I'm saying, hello, my name is. And
yeah.
I graduated,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it's time for the guest speaker. It's time for us
right.
to sit down and eat. And I'm looking around the room and I pick this one table because there's a woman sitting at that table
mm-hmm.
by herself with two other men. And I'm like, this poor lady, I'm going to go and have conversation with
yes.
her. So I go and I sit down and I skip a seat between this other woman and myself
mm-hmm.
and I sit down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as I sit, the gentleman the furthest away from me starts to introduce himself and we start going around the table to introduce ourselves so that we're no longer strangers.
Right. Sure.
And as this woman who's one seat away from me starts to speak, a gentleman comes and sits down in the chair between us.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts to eat his salad. Well, we skip him because he's got a mouthful of food.
Right.
And it comes to me and I said, I'm Michelle McKenzie at the time
okay.
and I graduated and this year
mm-hmm.
and I'm just so happy to be here.
So happy. Yes.
And I work for the Boys and Girls Club of Fort Worth.
Mm-hmm.
So we go back to the gentleman who had a mouthful of salad and he says, I'm Dr. Wes Johnson,
mm-hmm.
the dean of the Criminal Justice Department. And he turns and looks at me and he says, and I'm the board president of the Boys and Girls Club of Walker County. I just read your resume.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, all right.
Wow.
Okay, Lord, I see how you're working.
Now, hold on. I want to make sure they get this. She, you,
mm-hmm.
thought
mm-hmm.
you had randomly picked
mm-hmm.
this table.
Exactly.
to sit with the lady so she wouldn't be by herself.
Exactly.
Just out of your own etiquette, you just wanted to skip a little seat, you know, and we can all talk. A gentleman comes unbeknownst to you.
Didn't know him.
Go ahead. Everyone goes around the table. Skip him because he's eating. Come back to him. And then he is the board president
of the company that I just applied to.
And he just read her resume. I just wanted to make sure you guys heard that. Okay,
it gets better, Rachel. It gets better because I then start to tell him everything you can't put on a resume. You know, it's kind of, it looks bad when you send a 5-page resume.
Exactly.
So there's a lot of stuff you don't put on the resume.
Exactly.
So I'm happily sharing because I feel like he needs to know this.
Yeah.
Well, as I'm talking, in walks a gentleman who's late. And he comes and he sits down because I still have two more seats to the right of me.
Available. Okay.
Available. He comes and he sits down. I don't know him. I don't know who he works for.
Right.
I'm telling Dr. Johnson about programs that I implemented with the Boys and Girls Club of Fort Worth and how I would like to be able to provide those same services at the club that he is the president of.
Yes.
So as I'm talking and sharing this program, the gentleman to the right who came in late, he worked for Fort Worth ISD. And he says, oh, my goodness, we have that program on our campus. It is such a great program. Oh my. So, you know, God was moving this whole experience.
Yes.
So what I failed to mention is that on that night that I was crying, I'm laying in my bed and I'm struggling and with myself internally, I said, Lord, I need you to move some things. I've applied for this job. I need you to tell me that it's okay, that this is where you want me to be.
Yes.
So, you know, I made a deal.
As we often do.
Listeners, I want you to know, never make a deal with the Lord because he is always gonna follow through.
Always.
Period. Yes. Us as humans, sometimes we stumble.
Yes.
The Lord, he don't stumble. So, but crazy enough, I decided in my weakest moment of crying, Lord, crying out, I'm saying, you know, Lord, if this is where you want me to be, if you want me to, if you want me to move to this place, if you want me to uproot my children and walk away from this lovely home that I just built on my own.
On my own.
Big mistake to think it was on my own. But anyway, on my own, then this is what you're going to have to do for me. I told the Lord, I said, listen, I need to go. If this is where you want me to be, I need this to be simple. I need it to be easy. I need this transition to be very, very easy. It cannot be complicated. I need to be able to go there and I need to be able to turn things around because I've read the scope of where I would be going. I need you to go in there and I need you to use me to turn things around. And I need it to happen. I need it to happen for the children in this community who needs this. And then, Lord, I need you to give me a godly man. Because, you know, I've been through the divorce thing. I need somebody who loves you just as much as I love you. I need somebody who's going to guide me to be closer to you. That's what I need, Lord. So, you know, I'm running down the list, Rachel.
Yes.
I'm giving him a list.
What you need, yes.
And, but, I mean, I didn't leave out what I needed to do.
Right.
I said, Lord, you know, you do these things for me. I promise you I'll be a good steward of whatever you give me.
Yes. Good steward.
A good steward of whatever you give me.
Yes.
So, you know, all right. So let's go back to the lunch.
Yes.
So when this lunch is over with, we hear the guest speaker. I shake hands. I tell Dr. Johnson, thank you so much for allowing me to bend your ear a little longer.
Right.
I'm walking out to my car and I call my cousin, who's a real estate broker. I said, listen, I need you to find me a house in this little town.
Right.
And he said, why? I said, because I applied for a job there. He said, wait a minute. You applied. Have you interviewed? No. That's coming. I think that's coming.
Right.
He said, you think? I said, yeah, I think that's coming.
Right.
And he says, okay, Michelle, I'll go looking. You know, can't promise you anything, but I'll go look.
I'll go look.
The very next day, I get a phone call from the nominating committee for this Boys and Girls Club.
Hold that thought. I know y'all are waiting. Hold that thought. We are leaving you literally hanging on the edge of your seat. But we are going to take a quick commercial break, and then we will be right back with the I Quit podcast. I know you guys are loving Miss Michelle Spencer. Like, I'm sitting here and my mouth is open. Okay, enough. We'll be right back after this commercial with the I Quit podcast.
You are listening to the I Quit podcast with Rachel B. Foy.
The things students say, like, you know, man, because of this book, I didn't commit suicide. Because of this book, I can now speak in public and come out of my shell. Because of this book, I'm not so worried about what other people say about me, you know, not looking for their validation. That's what touches me.
My favorite chapter was about not letting either your boss, boyfriend, girlfriend, mother, family, anybody get in your way of being successful in whatever it is you want to do.
To purchase Life Is Not Complicated, You Are, or the other 99 times, or to download the audio versions, please visit carloswallace.com.
We are back. So I know you guys are just waiting for the cliffhanger from my special guest, CEO of the Boys and Girls Club. And this is Miss Michelle Spencer, and I'm not talking anymore. Take it away.
So I think I left off before commercial break that I get a phone call from the nominating committee chair the next day. And it says, I hear you met Dr. Johnson. We'd like you to come in for an interview. I said, great. Tell me when. He said, on May 31st. I'm thinking in my head, okay, that's Labor Day weekend. I'm good.
Yeah.
No, Memorial Day weekend. Mm-hmm. I'm ready. Sure. Yes, I can do that. Which was just 2 weeks later. So I prepare myself. I'm not really sure what I'm preparing for. Mm-hmm. But I drive in because it's at 1:30. I've got a 2.5 hour drive mm-hmm. from Fort Worth to this little bitty town. Mm-hmm. And I walk into a room. Now, mind you, no one told me it was going to be a panel interview. Mm-hmm. There's 7 people sitting in the room.
Wow.
I hadn't interviewed in a very long time, mm-hmm. so I'm kind of taken back. But before, all the way driving, I'm praying, Lord, give me the right words. If I don't know, let me just make sure that they understand. I have colleagues that I can refer to. I have mm-hmm. resources that I can use mm-hmm. in order to benefit this organization.
Yes.
So I walk in and everyone introduces themselves, and each one of these people sitting at the table, some are board members of the organization, some are community leaders, some are professors. And so there's a mix of people, but mm-hmm. each one has a specific topic that they have a list of questions for. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking this 1 hour interview is going to be, you know, quite mm-hmm. quick.
Right.
My interview was 2.5 hours.
Wow.
And what I heard, and if you're listening, as I'm answering questions and people are asking me questions, they went from if you to when you. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, I got them now.
Yeah.
I got them now.
Shift.
So I felt that shift. Mm-hmm. And after a 2.5 hour interview, I shake each one of their hands and I tell them, tomorrow is my birthday. It would be great if you called me tomorrow to wish me to offer me this position.
Yes.
And just like you're laughing, and many of you are probably going, no way, that's exactly what happened.
Wow.
Not on my birthday, not uh-huh. the very next day, but on June 2nd, I get a phone call from the nominating committee chair, and he says, I know I'm a day late.
But
we would like to offer you this job. And I said, but the Lord had already told me, okay, look, you said easy.
Mm.
You said this has to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm holding up my end.
Mm-hmm.
So in those 2 weeks from the meeting, the alumni luncheon, mm-hmm. to the interview, my cousin that I called mm-hmm. found me 4 or 5 houses to look at.
Wow.
So the next 2 weekends,
easy.
Me and my children are driving 2.5 hours every weekend mm-hmm. to go and look at potential new homes for us.
Wow.
If I tell you that it was fast, from June 2nd to July 15th,
wow.
June 2nd to June July 2nd. 15th, on July 15th, I signed at the title company on my home.
Mm.
On July 16th, my family, my mother had packed my home, 2,500 square foot home, packed my home and loaded a U-Haul. My ex-husband, y'all ready for this? Drove the U-Haul to my new home.
No way.
And unloaded. That Sunday, my best friends, my sister, my mother are helping me unpack, paint walls. Everything was in place on that Sunday evening when they're getting in their cars to drive back home. Everything was in place, paint, and there was photos that were supposed to go up on the wall, on the floor, propped up on the floor where that photo was supposed to go, mm-hmm. so the walls could dry completely.
Wow.
Okay, so I tell you, when I quit and I told God, okay, look, I made a deal, mm-hmm. but I told him I'd be a good steward. He said, okay, let's watch you work.
Mm-hmm.
So I got here. I got to this place. I've got my children. I've uprooted my entire life. But there was a peace. There was mm-hmm. a peace that I couldn't understand. Yeah. But one of the things that I had done in my struggle in between my divorce and my decision to move.
Right.
I had lost myself. I lost myself. I had lost what was important to me. I had lost all sense of any type of fix. Mm-hmm. I was struggling mm-hmm. internally. Right. I had failed.
Mm-hmm.
I had failed.
Mm-hmm.
At least I thought I had failed.
Right.
So, you know, when you think you cute and you out there doing what you ain't got, what you're not supposed to do,
right.
I had bought a wardrobe for this.
Yes.
This going out, yes. this hanging out, this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I came to a little bitty town. I couldn't dress any kind of way.
That's right.
I couldn't just go to Walmart mm-hmm. any kind of way.
That's right.
So I found out quickly
mm-hmm.
that when I left my house, I needed to be presentable. I needed to be ready.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm in a small East Texas town.
Right.
Black female
mm-hmm.
in a CEO position.
Yes.
In a town that had never seen that before.
Yes, absolutely.
I had to be on point. I had mm-hmm. to cross my T's and dot my I's at every situation, even right. if it was going to Walmart to pick up things for my family, because I was going to see anybody and everybody.
Yes. And what helped you understand that, like, with your mindset? What, because a lot of people or some people would move into that position and take the attitude of, you know, I'm a CEO, but listen, this is who I am, this is what I do. So how were you able to shift your mindset to be able to wrap your arms around that?
Well, Rachel, you know, I was ready.
I was
ready to take on the challenge
right.
of being a CEO.
Yes.
Because it's a lonely world.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Especially in a nonprofit, everyone has to support you.
That's
every
right.
message that you put out, no matter if it's your own personal message,
mm-hmm.
you are connected to that nonprofit. You are connected to that business. You're connected to that organization. You're connected to the corporation. You're connected.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You become the face.
That's right.
And my face needed to be clean.
Mm-hmm.
My body needed to be covered.
Mm-hmm.
My attitude needed to be good.
Mm-hmm.
My demeanor needed to be fair.
Right.
My everything needed to be in line.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. Mm-hmm. Because I was now the face.
Right.
And there are odds
mm-hmm.
to this face.
Yes.
And a little bitty town.
Right.
That had never seen.
Yes.
This face.
Absolutely.
As in a position of authority.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to do it right.
That's right.
I had to step into their world.
Mm-hmm.
I had to present us for all people.
Yes.
Not just for me, not
That's
just
right.
for the organization, but for everyone.
That's right.
Everyone that could possibly be a CEO somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
I had to be the model.
That's right.
And I'm not saying I'm the first, and I'm definitely mm-hmm. not saying that I'm going to be the last,
mm-hmm.
but I'm saying that in order for me to do what I needed to do,
mm-hmm.
I had to come correct.
Come correct. The first time.
The first time.
Because we don't get a do-over.
You don't get a second
chance.
You don't
get a second chance. That's right.
You don't get a second chance.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to make sure that my world,
mm-hmm.
my personal world, was right. Now, my children, I used to tell them all the time, they're all grown now, but I told them, you represent me. So you go out there and you act a fool. That's a representation of me our family. That's a representation of our culture. That's a representation of our people.
Yes.
So don't go out there, because guess what? Where you show at is where you get woe at.
No, that's right. That's good parenting right there. Yes, ma'am.
You know, so that's the way my mother raised
yes,
me.
Yes, mine too. Yes.
And she never went to jail.
Not once.
And so I had to take ownership. I had to start living again. I had to have purpose. And me quitting gave me my purpose again. It gave me back my backbone. It gave me back everything that I felt like I had lost, because I felt like I had failed.
Yes.
I failed my marriage. I didn't do the cheating. I didn't do the infidelity. I didn't do the mistrust. But I felt like something that I did it.
Right.
Created this. And it wasn't.
It wasn't. Not at all. It was not.
I can't say that for everybody.
Right.
But for me,
sure.
I knew I had done my part. I had done my 110%. I had done all the time I had done.
Right.
And I felt like I deserved to take back my self-esteem.
Yes.
Take back my fight. Take back my progress. Take back everything that I had let go.
Yes.
Nobody took it away from me. I let it go.
Absolutely.
I had my pity party. It was long. It was a long pity party. But I had it.
Yeah.
And the Lord said, look, I've always had you. I've always had you. You let go of me.
So he didn't go anywhere.
When I had these moments of clarity, it was like, I can do all things.
That's right.
I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
And there are going to be stumbling blocks. And there have been. As CEO, you're out there on an island. You really are.
Right.
And in a small town where everybody's related somehow, everybody has history somehow.
Absolutely.
It can be a lonely world. But I had my faith.
Yes.
And later on, I had that godly man I asked the Lord about.
Oh, shuck it.
You know?
Yes.
And I had my word. I had someone who could bring me back around to when I was losing myself, or when I was doubting what I could do, or when I felt like I hadn't done enough. My husband could bring me back around to, look, God has given you all the tools you need.
That's right. All the
tools
you
need. He would not have placed you in this spot without those tools. He would not have placed you in this spot without those tools.
That's right.
And every day, even on those days where I'm ready to pull my house and my hair out and I'm looking up going, God, why?
Right.
He brings me back around.
You're
not going to quit right here. I've given you everything.
Everything you need.
So I come to an organization. It's small. Small town. Has some bad history.
Right.
And I have to clean up. But in the midst of cleaning up, I have to organize.
Right.
In the midst of cleaning up and organizing, I had to build relationships. In the midst of cleaning up, organizing, and building relationships, I got to raise money. In the midst of cleaning up, organizing, building relationships, raising money, I have to now develop an opening for what we do and a need for what we provide in our community. That those steps didn't come easy, but luckily I had a colleague from another town who said, look, let me help you in these first 90 days to figure out everything that needs improvement. I'm not going to say it's wrong. I'm going to say needs improvement. So we started mapping out our strategy, our game plan, how we were going to do that. This organization went from a $180,000 budget when I came to now an almost $1 million budget, $750,000 budget, to us building a brand new $2.5 million facility. and a community that's the ninth poorest community in the state of Texas.
Wow.
These were things, obstacles that were given to me when I got here. Mm-hmm. We can't do this. We don't have. There's no way this could happen. And remember my prayer. I said, Lord, I want this organization to be a catalyst for children in my community. I want to be able to do these things for the children who deserve this. Somebody has to be in their corner.
Right.
And he said, okay, mm-hmm. let's make it happen.
Let's do it.
Let's do this.
Yes.
But you're going to have to strip away some of those things that you carry, some of that baggage that you carry, that low self-esteem, that doubt, all of those things. You got to let go.
Mm. You got to let it go. You got to quit.
I had to quit. Mm-hmm. I had my own internal divorce.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This isn't easy. Being CEO is not easy of any organization or corporation because you have to lead.
Right.
You have to lead by example. You have to be willing to do every part of what you're asking people to do. You have to create relationships so that they see your vision, that they catch on to what you do or where you want to take the organization, the corporation, where you want to take it. Once they catch on, it doesn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
It just keeps going and you keep
going
growing.
And growing.
And you have to build the right team, the right group of people to see mm-hmm. your vision,
mm-hmm.
carry your vision
yes.
the way that you want it to be carried.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things that I struggled with early on was control.
Mm.
Feeling like I had to put my hand on every piece. And maybe in the very beginning I did because there were lots of things that I needed to reorganize,
right.
restructure,
yes.
develop.
Mm-hmm.
But once those mechanisms were in place, I had to step back and put my attention to other things. And I'll be honest, in the very beginning, that was a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Because I then am going back to this is my name.
Right.
And I had to realize that if you give the people the tools mm-hmm. and you trust them enough
yes.
and they catch the vision, you got to let go.
Yes. You got to let go. Give them an opportunity to soar.
Let go. And when I let go mm-hmm. and allowed people that I trusted, people that I knew could do the job,
mm-hmm.
when I let go, they soared.
Mm.
So what happens when they soar? The company soars.
Absolutely.
What happens when they soar and the company soars? People want to use your services. People
yes.
want to invest in you. Mm. So that goes back to creating those relationships. I had to internally create the right relationships
mm-hmm.
in order for me to go out to create the other relationships that were needed to make sure that we were successful. Because I'm a true believer. I can't do this by myself.
Absolutely not. That's
so
right.
We had to start over with board members because mm-hmm. we went from a programming board,
mm-hmm.
a board setting policies and strategies to I need you to go out and raise money. You were connected to people in the community that could give
mm-hmm.
if you just gave them the opportunity to catch the vision.
Right.
So I needed to feed into my board members so that they can go out and feed into their circle of influence.
Yes.
So it was a building of relationships. That's what this is all about.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever think of a success story of something, it's because relationships, people trusted each other, people saw their vision, people
mm-hmm.
started to want to be a part of something so good.
Right.
That's what this is about. That's what being a CEO is. It's setting the vision
mm-hmm.
of what it is you're trying to give
yes.
so that people catch on and believe in what you're offering
mm-hmm.
so that they too can believe and invest. They might not have a skill or talent that fits, but they mm-hmm. might have monetary gifts that they can give.
That's right.
They might not have monetary gifts that they can give,
mm-hmm.
but they know other people that
yes.
have the talent or the monetary gifts to give.
Right.
So again, it's about relationships. And if you
mm-hmm.
can't create a relationship base,
mm-hmm.
you might as well give up.
Just give up. If you can't create that relationship base,
you gotta quit.
Because you have to have the relationships as you've already.
You
it's all interwoven
it's
into
intertwined,
everything.
Every piece.
Intertwined, all of it.
People give to what they know and who they know.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And that's in anything. And I'm not just talking about monetarily. They give to what they know and who they know.
Their time, their energy, their talent.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All of that.
That's right.
And once they start to give, then they catch your vision.
Mm.
And they're forever one of your supporters. They're forever someone that you can call on.
Mm-hmm.
And so being a CEO sometimes is very lonely.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to make hard decisions. But when the reward, after you've planted a seed and you've nurtured it, you've watered it time and time again, you've pruned it, and all of a sudden something so beautiful and miraculous comes up and you look, oh my God.
Yes, amazing. Well, that is our bell to tell us it is break time. So you guys just hold on just a second and we will be right back. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we are going to wrap up. I know you guys are receiving so much value. These have been so many gems and just nuggets of advice, information, and tried and true strategies and steps that are necessary. If you ever want to be in the position of CEO, if you want to build a business, a nonprofit, whatever you want to build, just people need to know how to have relationships. And as you see, this is all intertwined completely. Well, you guys hold tight. We'll be right back after this commercial with the I Quit Podcast.
You are listening to the I Quit Podcast with Rachel B. Foy.
Hi everyone, this is Liz Faubles here to let you know about my children's book, You Have a Superpower. It's part of a series of books I've written to empower, to inspire, and to help young girls everywhere realize you have special talents, special gifts that can make you an amazing person. I call them superpowers because these extraordinary talents, whether it's math, science, art, sports, or even writing, can help change the way people look at themselves and the world just by watching how confident you are about your extraordinary gifts. It's the perfect book for any young woman who needs a positive reminder that she's smart, gifted, and important. You Have a Superpower is available on Amazon.com. Order yours today and let that special young girl in your life know she can change the world one superpower at a time.
We're back. So guys, I know now we are going to, you know, this season 2, we have part 2 with the podcast. Now, as you can see, this CEO, this veteran CEO, a wealth of knowledge. We could go all night, but we're going to wrap it up. And then you guys have to wait for part 2. Now, remember, this part you are hearing, part 2 you'll be seeing. I wonder what you're going to see. Okay.
Exciting.
So why don't you just tell us as we wrap things up, what parting thoughts or just last nuggets of advice, information, whatever, would you like to leave with the listeners? The largest takeaways, what do you want to leave with our I Quit listeners?
Well, you know, not everyone's equipped to be a CEO.
Right.
But everyone is equipped to be something of importance.
Mm.
And so I'd like the listeners to understand that the struggle is real.
Mm-hmm.
And that we're all going to have trials and tribulations.
Yes.
And we're all going to have good and bad times.
Right.
But through the struggle,
mm-hmm.
as long as you have faith,
mm-hmm.
determination,
mm-hmm.
a vision for where you want to go, where you want to end up,
right.
and healthy relationships, all mm-hmm. things are possible.
All things are possible. Not some things,
but all. A-L-L, as my husband says all the time. A-L-L.
A-L-L. I love that.
And so, remember, faith, mm-hmm. whatever you believe in.
Right.
It can carry you through. Determination, because the struggle is going to be real, and you have to work hard to get where you need to go.
Amen.
Get where you want to go, but you also have to have a vision.
Yes.
Because as you get out there and you start spinning your wheels, you have to have a set vision,
right.
because there are going to be detours. Mm-hmm. There are going to be different paths that you could or could not take. But if it doesn't get you to your vision, mm-hmm. it's not the right path or detour for you.
That's right.
So faith, determination, a vision. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about relationships. This entire journey of mine has been about mm-hmm. relationships, from my broken marriage mm-hmm. to my internal self-worth
yes.
to having that colleague who believed in me when I didn't believe in myself.
That's right.
To creating a relationship with this individual who saw me on paper,
mm-hmm.
my resume,
right. mm-hmm.
filling in that relationship,
right.
to interviewing and really making myself shine.
Mm-hmm. Having the boldness.
Being able to be proud of what you're able to accomplish
yes.
and sharing it without mm-hmm. feeling bad because you've done these things.
Mm-hmm. That's
being
right.
able to stick your chest out but not be arrogant.
Right.
From that relationship to coming in and rebuilding the perception of this organization in this small town. Rebuilding, restructuring, building bridges that had been burnt before I got here.
Right.
Planning up mm-hmm. the building.
Absolutely.
And creating the vision for other people to say, wait a minute, I had this all wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Let me jump on the bandwagon because mm-hmm. it's going up. It's
yeah,
going to blow up.
That's right.
I want to be able to recognize that people right. to recognize that I was a part of this journey.
Mm-hmm.
So faith, determination, vision, and healthy relationships. Remember, all mm-hmm. things.
A-L-L. Yes.
All things are possible.
Yeah.
And I am grateful
mm-hmm.
and humbled by my journey.
Yeah.
Because it hasn't been easy,
mm-hmm.
but I was smart enough
mm-hmm.
to listen,
mm-hmm.
take heed, know when I needed to pull back,
right.
know when I needed to go forward,
yes.
know when I was lost to have a prayer,
mm-hmm.
know that when I'm struggling to go and see the fruits of my labor
mm-hmm.
and get rejuvenated.
Absolutely.
So, listeners,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is you want to set your mind to do,
mm-hmm.
there are some things that you have to quit.
Yes.
You have to die to
mm-hmm.
in order for you to move to the next level.
Yes.
Whether it's a CEO or a department chair mm-hmm. or a new journey in your career,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is,
whatever,
something mm-hmm. you're going to have to quit.
Yes. Something.
Something. You will have to give up.
Yes.
You will have to quit. You will have to divorce from
mm-hmm.
in order for you to get to that next level.
Yes.
And it's okay.
A-okay.
It's okay.
It is okay.
It is okay. It is well.
Yes.
It is well. It is well. It is well.
I love it. I love it. Well, we have absolutely enjoyed having you on the podcast today. Like, I am re-inspired. I don't know if that's a word, but I am re-inspired. So touched and just so inspired and motivated. But I like to say motivated to action, not just motivated, not just hot, but motivated to action, to go back and take a look at the things I'm doing and reflect on my steps and make sure that I have, you know, make sure I have my faith, my determination, for sure those relationships, making sure that I have all those pieces that you mentioned. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
My pleasure.
Now, with all that you have shared, how can the listeners, how can people get in contact with you or donate to the organization? How can they get in contact with you?
Well, Rachel, there's several ways. You can go to our website,
okay,
which is www.walkercountykids.org, and it's mm-hmm. the Boys and Girls Club of Walker County in Huntsville, Texas. You're mm-hmm. more than welcome to Google us. Find our website. There are places on our website where they can donate if they would like.
Okay.
My contact information is also on our website.
Yeah.
I love and enjoy being able to share my journey
mm-hmm.
with other people
yeah.
And be able to give what advice that I can share and
mm-hmm.
offer. There might be some things that I don't know. Some things that I have not encountered,
mm-hmm.
but I know a lot of people that have lived
yes.
and You know, if I don't know, I can make sure that I can find out how I can give the listeners, mm-hmm. your fans, your devoted folks to your podcast, the information that they need.
Okay.
They're more than welcome to check out the website. Mm-hmm. And give me a call.
Absolutely. And someone is calling her now. So until next time, guys, go out and map it. Make a positive impact today. Bye, guys.
For more information on Rachel B. Foy, please visit www.rachelbfoy.com.